This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, all, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. It's 12:05 on Wednesday, the 3rd of March, 2021. I'm Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Arvind Yuvraj
and Christine Wong.
So the question is: feelings are hard work, and if the past year has taught us anything, it's that. And the work of managing feelings is an important part of many jobs. The question that we have for you today is: do you feel more on top of your work in the office or whilst you're working from home, and why? That is a poll that we are running over on Twitter. You can get us at BFM Radio. Same question, of course, over on Instagram at BFM Radio also. And if you want to take part in the conversation, 018-789-8899. We're talking about emotional labour. We'll get to that in just a moment. What do we have for story number two?
Story number two, we're talking about GSE and how they've acquired MBO just as cinemas are allowed to reopen.
Mm-hmm. And finally, we'll be wrapping up with how Microsoft has announced a new piece of technology that could lead to you having holographic meetings.
Ooh, this all sounds very exciting. And of course, we do have an expert that we'll be speaking to a little bit later on. We've got Hetal Doshi. She's an organisational psychologist and CEO of OPSYCH. Talking to her very shortly. You two here in the studio, do you feel more on top of your work in the office or whilst working from home? Arvind Yuvraj.
Working from home. Just because you have more flexibility and I don't know why, but something about the time management and the ability to sort of just not relax. I don't know what the word for it is, but at home.
So you belong to the 25.4% of people who've already voted. Christine?
I'm actually on other because it depends on what kind of work I'm doing. If it's collaborative, then obviously being in the office is easier to, you know, talk to people and discuss things. But in general, for most of the work that I do personally, like research, editing, that stuff, I'm so much more productive working from home.
Okay, Christine, part of the 1.8% there. And Rich here will be working from home, also with Arvind, 25.4%. Please get the votes coming in. For those of you that don't know them, the term emotional labour was first published by Arlie Russell Hochschild back in 1983. She defined it as labour that requires one to induce or suppress feelings in order to sustain the outward countenance that produces the proper state of mind in others. In other words, put on a happy face, Arvind, you're at work.
Okay,
so it's that kind of stuff. If we look at people like therapists, healthcare professionals, they're clear examples of emotional labourers. Communications professionals, hint, hint. Educators, public administrators all perform a lot of emotional labour as part of their day-to-day work. And, you know, it's when we step back and look at it, it's clear that we're all doing a little bit of emotional labour. We do it instinctively, don't even realise it's happening. But on a practical level, you need to account for emotional labour when you're planning a project, an initiative, or any kind of function at work. And emotional labour requires resources, and failing to account for that means that you're likely to misjudge your time bank and your monetary budget. You also risk exhausting your and your team's energy reserves, as everyone will have to step up and handle more labour than was originally planned. When you ignore the emotional labour you're doing, you risk burnout. You need to be aware of how much energy you're putting out there, and taking care of others is important work, but your brain's neurochemical reserves are, in fact, finite. They require replenishing, just like your body's nutrients. So how can you make yourself feel better? The interesting thing is you've already started by being aware that emotional labour exists. And we knew it existed. We just, some of us weren't aware of the term itself up until yesterday. And Christine came along and she was like, we should be talking about this. And now the very fact that we have a term for it makes it easier for us to discuss.
And also the reason why we're asking the question that we're asking today is sort of to experiment a little bit with how much of a role it plays in terms of working in the office or working from home.
You know, and how do you plan for stuff like rational labour, for example? It's by respecting the resources that go into it, by talking about it openly and planning sessions, by putting it as a priority. Now, all of these same approaches apply to emotional labour. You just have to get used to conceptualising it. So you'll also help. It will also help you notice the emotional labour that other people do for you. When your manager coaches you through a tough problem, they're doing emotional labour. When your loved one drops what they're doing to focus on your needs, they're doing emotional labour. When a shop clerk remembers your name, they're doing emotional labour. by recognizing this, you can be more intentional around your implicit request for emotional labor and the need for you to reciprocate. So one way a team can automate emotional labor is doing little check-ins. Mm-hmm. Some people have even gone as far as having these little emoji check-ins and creating bot that sends an emoji about how last week's work was going or whatever. So it's a kind of little check-in. Mm. How's your week going? Smiley face. How's your week going? That's a smiley face.
it's like that paperclip that pops up every now and then.
No, that paperclip deserves to die and stay where it is. Clippy, we don't want you anymore. But it's just about making sure that you're aware of what it is. And mm-hmm. understanding emotional labor isn't hard. But developing emotional skills is a bit of a lifelong process. You know, you can take a minute to reflect on the emotional labor that's going around you whilst you're in your office. Ask your team about the feelings work that they're doing. Brainstorm some better approaches. You know, just get the idea of what it is into your head. Mm. And I, like I said to Chris earlier on this morning when I first came in, I was conceptualizing and going through some ideas, scenarios mm-hmm. yesterday of what emotional labor is. And the first one that I could come up with was, you know, put on a happy face, you're going to work. Mm-hmm. But it's also stuff like when you call a call center, for example, and that's a really good example. Mm-hmm. Because those poor people sat at those desks, yep. you know, fielding questions and arguments and problems, they're doing two things. They're balancing that emotional labor mm-hmm. of somebody calling in and, you know, rah, 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 and they mm-hmm. have to be, thank you, sir. How can I possibly help you today? Mm-hmm. And that takes effort, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, so much effort.
So much effort to yeah. not scream back at that person and to kind of not get drawn into that discussion, that argument, rather. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. then they're also using rational labor to help solve problems. Mm-hmm. And the idea that many managers are completely unaware of what emotional labor is and the toll it takes on people is something that we've been trying to address throughout this show and throughout the pandemic for the longest time. And more managers nowadays are becoming much more aware of what it actually is. I mean, Arv, talk to me about it. The emotional labor that you've been through and you, Christine, over the last year.
I'm just wondering, like you said over the last year, like, so what does this mean? Like, does it mean that people who work from home have less emotional labor? Or does it mean that working from the office has less?
That's why we're doing this show today, huh?
It is. Mm. So my theory on this is that if you're working from home, you kind of do less emotional labor in general. Like, if you live by yourself, you know, because when you go to the office, there's the whole, you know, even stuff like greeting people, being aware in case someone wants to tap you on the shoulder for a discussion or something like that. That is all emotional labor. And you sort of have to be on this kind of subconscious alertness, right? Mm-hmm, like, you know, just to be like, oh, maybe someone will call me, maybe someone will ask me to do this, maybe someone will hand me another task, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas at work, when you're working from home, you know, I think that you do a lot less of that. So that's my personal theory on why I am more productive at home, is because I don't spend half my time having to be aware of doing emotional labor, like, for people in the office. Mm-hmm. I can just focus on, like, my own task by myself and put on my headphones and then just, like, block out my own time by myself. And I don't actually have to do a lot of the emotional labor that comes with working in an office.
Agree with that.
I guess it's even as easy as something as simple as being able to stretch on a sofa at home. Because you don't have to think about how you look or how people are looking at you or what you are dressed as. You know, you can dress in whatever's comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Sit any way you feel is comfortable and just have the laptop. And the work is the work is the work, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Even stuff like, for example, let's say I want to go and, like, get a glass of water. Mm. And normally I'd be like, hey, do you guys want a glass of water too? Which I don't mind doing, but it's technically emotional labor. No. At home, I will just get my own water by myself. You know, like, but that's an example of, like, it's small stuff, but I think it does help to conserve, like, your energy and your kind of, I guess, your work stamina. Is that a phrase I can say?
Yeah, I suppose it is. But it also helped me to discuss things with other people in the past. And when you talk to, for example, right, you're a radio DJ, you're a radio host, all you do is you talk for a living, right? And that is something that people have said to people in our industry for the longest time, right? Because they genuinely don't see what happens behind the scene. All they do is they hear us coming on the microphone at specific times, sounding energetic. But I can guarantee you this, that guys, and I'm kind of opening the curtains ever so slightly, that when this microphone is switched off, there is silence in this studio for the most part. And the three of us will be going...
Because we're saving that energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the sighs of just relief.
Right. Yeah. And so that is emotional labor as well. Mm. It's the effort that goes into producing and creating some kind of... almost like a sense of a show. You're almost acting to a degree, right? And I go on. Yours.
No, I was just going to say it's the 80% that makes the 20% possible.
Correct.
So when we ask around the room, like, you know, where do you prefer working and stuff, we're not talking about the 20%. That's like studio work. That's us here. But it's the 80% that goes into preparing for that 20%. Mm-hmm. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we're going to take a break whilst you guys think about this. See what I did there? I'm giving you some emotional labor to work with. Do you feel more on top of your work in the office or whilst you're working from home, and why? Let us know. The options over on Twitter are in the office, working from home, about the same, or other. Let us know. Get over there at BFM Radio. Same over on Instagram. And if you want to talk to us via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. James Gang with Walk Away to take us into the break here on BFM 89.9.
Boosting female ministers. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio by
Arvind Yuvraj
and Christine Wong.
We're talking about emotional labor and how feelings are hard work. And if the past year has taught us anything, it is that the question that we're asking. Do you feel more on top of your work in the office or whilst you're working from home, and why? Let us know. The poll results so far, with almost 200 votes, are
47.1% for in the office, which is, I'm kind of surprised, 27% for working at home, 24.1% about the same, 1.7% other. Gupreet Singh says, I think when a group of people share a co-working space, it is easier for communication, management and efficacy of decision-making rather than having to do it online, which consumes more time. As it is, we use lots of WhatsApp and email for work, and work from home will just add to the stack. Shamil says, work always piles up, but office is conducive, our mindset is for work, thus lots can be done. We've trained our mind that home is to relax. Trying to achieve the same level of work at home is a Herculean task. Completing one doc at home took longer than five docs at the office. Mayan says that still prefer working from home. As it is right now, the job doesn't require us to physically be at the office. Still working fine at home, slightly less stressful.
Okay. Instagram, what have we got, Chris?
On Instagram, the poll, we just have office and work from home. So it says office at 67% and work from home at 33%. And we've got a couple of messages as well. Stephen HSL prefers working in the office for the separation of personal and workspace and also for human interaction in the office. Churn says they need a clear separation of home, rest and work because boundaries are important. But Emotional Lilac, sorry, says working from home because there's nobody toxic surrounding me.
Good point, and that makes a big deal because you have to put on that happy face, remember? Ro has said, at home, at work, my in-tray is like the Pokemon bottomless bag. It just keeps refilling itself. Maggie Bess says, definitely in the office because I like to keep work and home physically segregated as much as possible. And the pluses for working from home are not enough for the peace of mind that I have left work behind at the end of the day. Furthermore, my tasks depend a lot on input from other departments and even the clients, and somehow some people need to be constantly hounded to deliver their part. True. Now, of course, we've managed to get hold of an expert on this. We got Hetal Doshi, organizational psychologist and CEO of OPSYCH. Hetal, in your opinion, what would your definition of emotional labor be?
In the workplace, emotional labor is experienced when, number one, you have to hide emotions that you really do feel. And number two, create appropriate emotions for the situation based on the organizational or political rules within the organization. In short, emotional labor is really about having to suppress your own emotions in order to fit better with the rules of the organization or the politics around it.
Okay, so why should employers be aware of what emotional labor is?
Employers should definitely increase their awareness of what emotional labor is and how it tends to manifest in the organization for three reasons. Number one, what we resist to understand will persist in an organization, right? And it's like not cleaning up certain areas in your house. If you don't clean it up, it persists and becomes obviously super dirty. Within organizations, what we call it is toxic culture. So these whispers that employees tend to try to express in many different platforms like pulse surveys, 360, culture survey tools, these whispers that they are trying to bring forth to leaders, if these whispers are unheard, they tend to turn into screams. And these screams could end up being showcased in whistleblowing platforms or even social media. So number one, if as an employer, you are not interested in really listening and doing something about it, there will not only be issues on well-being of employees, not only issues of performance of your organization, but certainly reputational damage along the way. The second reason why it is important to be aware about emotional labor is that when you try to really, really connect with employee experiences in the workplace, this is really the birthplace of genuine connection. And obviously, connection is the birthplace of willingness to do something for each other and for the greater benefit of the organization as well. You would hear many a times people saying that, although I didn't want to do it, I did it because I love or I really liked my leader. And the third reason is that it is a point of proof that you are, as you push your employees to go to war for you, you are proving that you will lick their wounds or you'll look after their wounds when they come back for it. And you proving that you are there to look after them adds fuel to that fire in their bellies to go back to war for you. And so this is a cyclical, energetic cycle of give and take, and what makes people want to work harder and take bigger risks for the organization.
Mm-hmm. Are we seeing a higher amount of employees dealing with excess emotional labor during COVID?
Yes, there is a research that by Soto, Rubio and Co. In 2020 that was done across the COVID-19 pandemic on a group of nurses that found that absolutely the rate of emotional labor, even in an industry where you are required to carry that as part of your task, had increased, leading to higher levels of burnout syndrome. So even though we may not have enough research to prove that emotional labor has increased during COVID-19, I think we take a commonsensical approach that the requirement across organizations and in this climate is that no matter how you're feeling right now, you're going to have to figure a way out to be extremely resilient, regardless of the circumstances that you're in. Some of us are in, you know, a great state. We have enough support, help, space in the house. Some of us don't. Regardless, there is this notion of you need to be doing well and you need to be performing at your highest level. And in fact, you need to be helping your organization transform, pivot, and bounce to a higher state. And so this suppression of how people are genuinely feeling is absolutely there. I think, you know, credit, I think we have to give credit where credit is due. But a lot of my clients are extremely, you know, dedicated towards figuring a way out to understand what is really going on and to do something to mitigate this experience from a, you know, root cause perspective. But it's not easy because I think you really need to have a psychological background to be able to deeply understand it at scale and to be able to come up with very, low investment solutions to be able to eradicate it. It can be done, though.
So what can we do to help manage emotional labor?
So emotional labor is a very interesting concept that basically, again, talks about things that you have not contracted or agreed upon, but now you have to suppress as part of your job. So, for example, nurses have contracted, they do put in an agreement saying that, yes, we will work longer hours, we will do whatever it takes to work with patients who are really, really undergoing high levels of stress, anxiety and physical pain. And they sign a contract stating that we will go through that emotional labor pain as part of our task. But majority of employees do not sign a contract stating, yes, we are willing to go through all of the psychological and emotional pain as part of our job. They don't agree to that. So I think a couple of things that need to be done to manage emotional labor In a way that can be understood simply, is basically we all are going to go through things that we don't like and potentially feel that we need to suppress it. However, emotions are data, right, that we need to learn how to process to take us forward to a space that we desire. So this idea of having to process emotions is something that must be learned from a leadership perspective and from an individual's perspective and also from a vendor or client perspective. So here are a couple of ways to do it. The first thing would be for managers to really understand that a person's behavior is a function of they themselves, but also the environment. So as a manager, the first thing all managers, I think, should be forced to do is to really understand how to work an environment, whether it is face-to-face or virtual. How do you work an environment so that you ensure that employees feel safe to speak up about anything and everything, but also you're able to process them from a space of negativity to a space of being a lot more constructive? This is a very high level of skill. It is not only about psychological safety or emotional intelligence, but the ability to facilitate emotions back into business performance. The second thing would be that I think it is non-negotiable for every single individual to take responsibility of their own emotions and educate yourselves or themselves or ourselves so that we know exactly how to conduct ourselves in spaces where we feel any kind of suppression or oppression. There are many, many free resources out there, many free courses out there to be able to learn how to regulate better. Simple courses like emotional intelligence or crucial conversations or negotiating with intent. These are some courses that everybody can apply for. Don't think it is only the job of managers. Unfortunately, if that's the way that we think, we're always going to live a life that is out of our control. I think it is really the job of individuals to also create that ability to process emotions and also create the right environment for your own teams. You don't have to be a manager to do that.
Mm-hmm. So what are the consequences if emotional labor is not managed?
There are many consequences if you don't manage human emotions in the workplace. Yeah, it's a very commonsensical thing. Think about it. Like if you, for example, are unhappy in the workplace, one of the many things that you do towards your organization is you would sabotage a lot of efforts. The second thing would be that you probably would, because of the inability to focus, your emotions are putting you all over the place, you would have performance errors. The third thing would be that you would experience high levels of anxiety and burnout, resulting in you not simply not being able to perform. And from that state of anxiety and burnout, you would cause a lot of relational issues with team members as well. So there is, I think it's really about time that we understand that when it comes to human beings, if we don't understand the core of emotions in the workplace, which is really a source of energy and force for performance, you will, as an organization, never be able to achieve your desired outcome, especially when organizations are transforming and the energy required is super significant. And the energy that is required really needs to be super constructive. Yes, so if it is not managed well, you probably will never get what it is that you desire as a desired state of for your organization.
Okay, so for you personally, do you experience more emotional labor while working in the office or working from home? And why do you think that is?
Personally, I do not feel that I'm experiencing any form of suppression. I probably am also operating in a space of very high level of privilege because I run my own firm and, you know, I have a great setup at home. I feel great working from home. And I also felt great working from client's place in the past. My personal hope for everyone is to recognize that COVID-19 is really here to expose all of our vulnerabilities, and it's a huge chance for us to learn how to figure out how best to adapt in any form of situation, because before you know it, we probably have to go back to work and work, you know, from work itself. And when we have to do that, we're going to be complaining about a whole range of other issues all over again. And I think that cycle of having to complain or feel that we are victims or having to suppress a lot of our emotions is not really healthy for us. Forget about everything else. It's just not healthy for us. But it is very understandable to experience it. Very, very understandable to experience it. However, I think we need to move towards a space where we are not constantly suppressing and feeling oppressed across situations.
Okay, Hetal, final question today then. Is there a different form of emotional labor for employers and managers versus employees or team members?
At the core of emotional labor, again, coming back to the idea of suppression, is really this experience of power play. And I don't think it will differ in dynamic relationships between employers and managers versus employees and team members. It is still this experience of a power play where one has superior power, the other one feels a little bit more oppressed or suppressed. However, it shows up potentially differently. So, for example, with between employers and managers or employees, it would be around you. I say and you do. Across team members, it would be who's got the loudest voice and influence or authority or connection to other parts of power, and therefore the loudest voice potentially tends to win.
Hetal Doshi there, organisational psychologist and CEO of O-Psych. If you missed any part of the show so far, don't forget that very shortly you'll be able to download the podcast and have a listen back. We're going to take a short break with some music to take us into the break from the Ramones with Rockaway Beach. When we come back, an update from the Bursa at break, and then moving on to story number two, all about how GSC have acquired MBO as cinemas will be allowed to reopen very shortly. This is BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.